Welcome to the Amplifying Optimism in Education podcast. In this episode, we take you to an amazing gathering of educators that took place in Seattle this summer. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this stimulating dialogue on the power of retreat, reflection, and how it can bring educators together to harness the power of the crowd for enhancing decision-making, personal growth, and the journey into the 2021 school year. And with me today, I have Susan Davis, the Director of Professional Development for Atlas.
Atlas is the Association of Technology Leaders in Education, which could be a little misleading. We basically think of anyone who touches technology in schools as a technology leader or a potential technology leader. And so that could really be anyone who is interested in education as it happens and the way it happens in schools today. So this was an event that evolved over the last year and a half, and it really came out of a desire on the part of Atlas to meet the needs of the people in our community who basically a year ago were suffering. I mean, they had been working nonstop. They had just been trying to put one foot in front of the other, make sure that everybody had access to what they needed to make school happen. They were under all the stresses that everybody else was as far as the pandemic is concerned. But at the same time, they were trying to make things better. And they were on call essentially all the time. So we thought about, what do these people need? And we knew that they needed each other. They needed community. And they needed time to think. And they needed time to just do their work. And so we cooked up this idea of having what we thought of as a real honest to God retreat, where people could get away from the job, the demands of the everyday job, and do what they needed to do, which was reflect and get the work done and be around each other and inspire one another.
And what a wonderful gift, right? Schools, I don't know that schools really take that time to retreat and to reflect. And like you said, every educator has been really hit hard the last year and a half.
Yeah, we were thinking about, like, this is our community. If we want to provide professional development for them, how do we meet them where they are? Which is a main educational goal. We should always meet our people, our students, our learners, where they are. And they were at a place where they needed some things that weren't in the community at large. So we created a space. We came together in person in Seattle, and you were there, and it was pretty exciting to be in that room.
It was. And our podcast listeners are going to get to step into that room when they listen to the episode, as we mentioned, which was recorded live at this retreat. What would someone be walking into, you know, when they walk into this retreat? What's the difference between a retreat and a conference? What should they expect?
Right. Well, we felt like it was important for our technology people who we think of as educators. We thought it was important for them to have the time to reflect on what has happened. They're also supposed to be forward thinking and thinking about what's going to happen. So we created a space where we provided a little bit of inspiration, and we basically let them do the work they needed to do together. And that was the magic, giving them the gift of time and each other.
Wonderful. Now, in a few moments here, our listeners will hear the episode. What would you say were some of the outcomes of this retreat, or what are the outcomes of a community of educators taking that time to step into the retreat space?
Well, the response was overwhelmingly positive. We had everybody from teams of schools to some folks who had been through our year-long leadership program totally online, who'd never met in person. But basically, by giving them the time to figure out what they knew instead of just sort of reacting to the individual thing. I feel like, you know, rather than responding to the individual demand of the moment, they were actually thinking deeply about the state of education. Mm-hmm. They were thinking deeply about what is becoming of schools affected by all that we've been through. Some things positive, some things that were very stressful and hard. But we're not going to be the same when we come out of this. And so I feel like they had the time to really talk to each other and think about what that meant. Mm-hmm. And that's the impact. I mean, how often do we just sort of roll from one thing to another without thinking? In a way, COVID has forced us all to step back and think about the meaning and purpose that we have. And that kind of focus can have a really lasting impact, I believe.
I agree. And as someone who attended the event and was able to participate, I can say that, you know, anyone at that event, or really anyone listening to this reflection in this episode of the participants of that event, who may be technologists in schools, but really these are principles and concepts and ideas that apply across the board in education. And really there's value for everyone.
I agree. I totally agree. And thank you so much for being a part of it.
But I hear you can see me, so I'm very excited to be here with everybody, and I've been looking forward to this great episode where we get to hear all of your reflections and get to really have a great conversation together.
And hi, I'm Pamela Livingston Godet. I know some of you because I used to be a tech director in independent schools. I'm also an author, and I develop software for K-12 schools, and I am very happy to be here to meet with you all.
These are, and I just want to highlight, first of all, Pam is just like, you're now like really starting up with a startup, which is awesome. And
yes.
Josh is a former elementary school educator, and Josh just wrote his first book. Pam also wrote a book recently. Josh's book is called The Confidence Project, and he is, I have learned a lot from Josh in my work with kids and tutoring students and working with students from his work. So just want to make sure you have a little more context about Josh and who he is.
Thank you.
I know a lot of you know Pam, so. Anyway, anything you want to say about that, Josh, before we move on to the panel introductions?
No, I appreciate the comment about my book. I'm happy to sign anybody's copies if they'd like it. So just send me an email and we'll get in touch with you.
Yeah. Josh and I both met last fall before the pandemic at Learning in the Brain Conference. And I think we both had a conversation about writing a book. And Josh has written a book. I'm writing things.
We'll get there.
I'm writing things. But remember earlier I talked about procrastination as my skill, so I do other things instead.
And with Pamela, she wrote the book Like No Other School Year, and the survey that we put out this year for schools and how they were dealing with the pandemic that we shared as an Atlas activity, that was all based on Pamela's book.
Yeah.
So just for some context on that.
Yeah. We've got a whole 5-part series that I know Ethan, amongst other folks, are interviewed on based on Pam's book. So not trying to make this a commercial for the podcast, but here we go.
But now we're a threesome, too.
And we're a team of three. Yeah, Pam has joined us, which is awesome. Alrighty, so let us have the panel introduce themselves. We can start over on the left with Holly. Do you mind going first, Holly?
Sure.
Do you have to sneeze or anything?
I know
you
were. I don't right now,
okay.
No. All right. My name is Holly Gerla. I'm the technology director at Charles Wright Academy in Tacoma, Washington, just south of where we are meeting right now. I have been at the school for 13 years, done all the jobs in the tech department, and finally am the one in charge. It's a little daunting just to stay on topic with our theme here, but very happy to be here.
Thank you, Holly.
I'm Alex Inman. I'm the founder of Educational Collaborators and the chief academic officer at STS Education. I spent about 20 years as an independent school technology director, CIO, classroom teacher, and I'm very glad to be with you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Awesome. Jim Bologna. I'm an Atlas board member, and
yes.
I am I've been with Windward School for about 18 years. Currently, I am the Senior Director of Innovation and Technology, and I also teach. So I've started in operational technology, and I've shifted to educational technology.
Great. And my name is Stuart Cray. I'm glad to be on this panel. I'm the Chief Information Officer at MICDS, Mary Institute, and St. Louis Country Day School in St. Louis, Missouri. And I've been there 3 weeks, and it's been great. I'm looking forward to the next 3 weeks to see what that has in store.
And you've got your 3 to 5 year plan set up.
Yes, it's all on. I just thought, well, let's I'll start spending the professional development money.
We've had like an hour and a half.
But I previously was the director of technology and director of operations at Lausanne Collegiate School in Memphis, and I'm real pleased to be on this panel with Atlas, and also. Was involved with the Laptop Institute back in the day, and some of the folks in the room have been there over the years. So I'm happy to be back involved on a more day-to-day basis with educational technology, and I'm excited to be on this panel.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you guys for those introductions. We have an awesome crew up here. So
may I request a water?
Sure. Can someone mind grabbing Stuart some water?
Will that be on the?
We're going to open the episode with that.
Okay.
We're going to open the episode with Stuart going,
lead-in right there.
Can I have some water?
Next will be the bathroom. But
Alex, did you listen to your episode that I edited recently and put out again?
I didn't listen to the re-edit.
Oh, man, it's funny. It's funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You have to listen to how I started.
Start that way?
Now I will.
No. Well, you know, like I said, we're a year into this podcast, and we're just learning, like, the power of the editor, right? So, no, just kidding. We will edit responsibly and respectfully. So I thought we'd start the panel off just with a very simple kind of question that's very just practical. What have you guys been observing over the past few days? What have you noticed emerging from the conversations that maybe you're having on your own, when you're reflecting on your own, or when you're working with other groups or observing? Well, thank you, Susan. So anyone can jump in on the panel. What have you observed? What's been happening?
I just observe how brilliant my colleagues are. I'm so grateful for all of you, because year would not have been survivable without Atlas. Mm. So it's so good to see you in person and, like, just finally get to talk face-to-face and share ideas and hear how people are problem-solving different things that are coming up. It's been just a treat.
Thanks, Holly. Yeah.
I think I'm enjoying seeing people give themselves permission to breathe for the first time. You all worked so hard this year. It was incredible, almost indescribable. And I was so honored to see and proud of my friends and colleagues for the incredible work that schools were doing. Carson knows this. He was my assistant director of technology at Sidwell. And I love problem solving. I love it. I actually kind of like problems, just so it's something that I can solve. And when COVID came, a little piece of me, just teeny tiny piece, said, man, I wish I were a tech director right now. And then about a month into this, I'm like, man, I'm so glad I'm not a tech director right now. But watching you guys go through this was really remarkable. And then seeing you all come here and then just sort of watching the change from even the beginning of day one to the end of day one and into day two, and watching you all kind of take the time to give yourselves permission to breathe, all of your spines are less stiff than they were when we started. All of you, your faces are literally more relaxed than they were when we started, and it warms my heart to see it.
Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I will agree that that it's definitely the transition of time from the beginning of the retreat to now, through now, and you know, being able to really step back and just look at everything. I think a lot of us have very similar sets of priorities. They may be ranked differently, but there's a lot of similar challenges, and it's really, really hard in the thick of things to be able to step back and get that thousand-foot view of what's going on. It's definitely the power of a retreat, and it's so beneficial to be able to do that with colleagues who are in the same place with you.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim.
Yeah, I would agree with everybody as well. I didn't have many, just because I was busy ending a job and starting a new job, I didn't have a whole lot of time to think about this before I actually showed up in Seattle. Mm-hmm. So then I was getting to the website and said, oh, well, this is interesting. It's really not a conference. It's a retreat. And, you know, it's, obviously it said that. I've just signed up for it. But it's a great thing because it does allow that space to kind of think about things. And like yesterday, it was a little bit, maybe a little uncomfortable. We're not used to saying, okay, everybody just get to work on whatever it is you said you're going to work on. And thinking, oh, what am I supposed to do? Because normally you're like ready for directions and all that. You know, in a conference, you sit back and listen. You're not used to being active in it. So I think that really helped because those are the things that we need to do in our day-to-day job is take that breathing time and downtime and say, okay, I'm going to take an hour and a half and work on my priorities or reprioritize my list or time. Like Alex said, on Mondays, you know, you take this time to just have open-ended time. So I think that's one of the main things I've taken away from this is having that space in your schedule, that margin time, to be able to do some of these more long-range things. So I've enjoyed it. I think it's been a great process for me.
Thank you, Stuart. So I'm kind of moving a little slow between the questions because we've got two other interviewers on the screen here that can't see things, so I want to leave room for you guys to ask a question. Josh or Pam, did you have a question for the panel or that came to mind?
I'm just wondering about some of the other kind of retreats that you've done, either professionally or personally. You know, in the past, I having worked at independent schools in the past, sometimes we would call something a retreat, but it might not be the same as this retreat. So can you compare and contrast or talk about any of the retreats you've experienced before and what's different about this time?
I have a story.
Alex, would you tell us your story?
All right. It really isn't very relevant, but it's fun to tell.
Okay, you could have let me know that before you.
Alex, go ahead. You're trying to fill up space. Right.
So in college, I went to a Jesuit Catholic college, and in college, the campus minister for the dorm said, Alex, we wanted to invite you to the winter retreat. And I said, oh, okay. And they said, it's not on the list. It's an invitation-only thing. You got to come back from winter break a week early because it's a week-long retreat, but we think you would benefit from this. And I'm like, well, sounds good. And it's an invite only thing, so my ego was stoked. I'm like, this is great. I should definitely do this. And she said it's a quiet retreat. It's a nice opportunity for you to reflect on your own personal growth, and it's a quiet retreat. So we get in the van. There's about nine of us. We get in the van. And we're heading up to some retreat house in northern Wisconsin. And one of my classmates says to me, wow, Alex, I did not peg you for a silent retreat. I said, what do you mean silent retreat? And they said, we're going to take a vow of silence tonight, and we're not going to talk for 6 days. I said, what? And everybody's just dying laughing. I mean, you guys heard my 30-second introduction yesterday.
Great 2 minutes, yeah.
I don't do well with silence. And I thought quiet retreat just meant like, you know, you can take some walks or something, right? But no, we took a 6-day vow of silence on this retreat. And, I'm going to bring this back to schools in a second.
Take your time.
I will. We got up there, sure enough, we took a vow of silence and we started our silence. And, I did not realize how loud my brain is. My brain is really loud. Mm-hmm. And we didn't talk, but that buzzing in my head, it did not slow down at all. It took me about two solid days of not talking before I felt the silence that I was experiencing. And it was profound. The silence was profound. My ability to think clearly, my ability to reflect, my ability to listen was so much more pronounced than it was before I had done it. I see a few head nods from people who have clearly done something like this. Fast forward about 20 years, I start working at Sidwell Friends School, which is a Quaker school. And their prayer is celebrated in shared silence. And so we would have meeting for worship, and my first administrative meeting was 45 minutes of silence with my peers. So imagine, like, your colleagues that you work with. Now imagine sitting with them in silence for 45 minutes. Whoa. It brought back all of that experience, and it took me about 30 minutes again to sort of find that silence. And once I found it and practiced it regularly, then I could get into the listening within just a few minutes. And we would start our department meetings with mm-hmm. a moment of silence, and we would share silence within our department. And it was very powerful because it put us in a position to listen. Because in that silence, that's when you begin to listen to yourself with no sound. And that place was very powerful. And so I'm not sure that silence is culture. And not all of us have the culture where that sort of silence is there. But the lesson that I derive from that, whether I'm in a Quaker meeting or not, is that the value of the meeting is not what you say. The value of the meeting is in what you hear. And so putting yourself in that position to really hear and really listen is how you get that productivity. And I hope that you were able to get there in less than 2.5 days.
Thank you, Alex. I would like to do a long silent retreat sometime, so thanks for reminding me. Yeah. Others on the panel.
Just echoing what Pamela said, remembering in some of the administration retreats that I've been involved and did not feel like this. It was much more prescribed, and it almost felt like, you know, the leader of the like the head of school would know the answer, but he was just trying to help us get to the answer he already had, type thing. And it was, you know, I was thinking, well, if you already know the answer, then why are we doing all this stuff, you know, that type of thing. So it's much more exciting to have more of an open-ended discussion with professionals and colleagues and where there is no right answer, because we're all from different schools. And even within your school, there's still no necessarily not the right answer. And it's like Alex said, listening is a skill that I think is so important for us to have when we go back to our schools, because we have a great influence on the leader. As most of us in here are leadership capacities in our schools, we have that influence to be able to sit there and listen and understand where the other folks are coming from and how we can participate in that conversation. So I try to bring that back down to how I can help translate that to the staff that I work with and help out on a day-to-day basis with their jobs and listen to their needs. So I think that whole listening aspect and that being silent is such an important thing to think about, and not having the answer in my head, because I really don't have the answer, and I work with the people around me to help me formulate that answer, because I'm questioning all the time, am I doing the right thing? Am I listening enough? Or is someone else have a better idea than me? And I think that's one of the things you learn at retreats or conferences, and you just are always searching for the next thing. And if you think you know what it is, you're not going to have your mind open enough to learn something new or maybe find a different direction. So anyway, this has been a fun experience, and I hope that we're able to bring some of this back to MICDS and hopefully to your other schools too.
Yeah, yeah. How many folks in the audience have thought about ways they could bring a retreat format into their schools for their professional development they're working on? Some hands, yeah. I would say that's a brave thing to do, to hold that space. Yeah, okay, I was curious. Yeah.
So we did a retreat a couple of years ago. I think you and I got a chance to talk about that mm-hmm. a little earlier. And mm-hmm. it definitely, I would say, a couple of I love the idea of listening as a critical component. I think that's really important. I think time and space, for sure, are also critical. And we've tried versions of, you know, like working groups. In particular, the area we were focused on was trying to connect math terminology and science terminology, because there was a disconnect between at certain grade levels for what was being used in the classroom for problem sets. And you would think that would be something that would be fairly easy to have a quick conversation about, or you know, could be worked out in a quick meeting. But what we found is every time we tried to do that on campus, it was really difficult to get folks to step back enough from everything else, from what the way they'd been teaching, to say, this is what makes the most sense for students across mm-hmm. the curriculum. So stepping back to an offsite retreat for a little more than a half a day to be able to take the time and the space for that, and then trying to set the stage, which is actually something I've really, really appreciated about the structure of this retreat here. Has there's enough space to do the work that the reflection work, but also there's sets of tools that are being introduced. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I jump on that a little bit? Because
yeah.
What Jim says, I think is really important, because different spaces also kind of give us permission to think of things a little bit differently. And one of the things that Whitfield School, where I worked in St. Louis, did remarkably well was use their space to sort of catalyze that creative thinking. And so we would do this in our department, where we would go to a different space in the school outside of the library where our offices were, and engage in some department meetings or some thinking or some reflection or problem solving on a particular thing in that space. And we would also do that with other departments and faculty members. We all have, independent schools have amazing campuses. We really do. And I am frequently disappointed with how independent schools use their magnificent spaces. They have great spaces, they use them, but I feel like there's so much untapped potential in our spaces and how we use them. And, modeling that with our own departments is very inspiring to other faculty to do that within their classes. Mm. Encourage them to get their kids out of the classroom by modeling that with our own work. I think there's just a lot of great things. I think your campus is ridiculous. Mm, it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I think I've been thinking what you just said about spaces and the purpose of a meeting. Like, the bigger a conference is and the more scheduled it is, the easier it is to hide. Yes. And be alone and kind of anonymous in the as a participant. And that's what I'm noticing here. The second I walked in the door here, I was like, oh, I don't feel alone. And I loved it. Because we feel isolated sometimes in our roles. You're the only one who does what you do at your school. Who do you get to talk to about that? So to be here with other people, like immediately, I say, we had a meeting yesterday and we've said, we're talking about onboarding. Like, how are we going to onboard new people, blah, blah, blah. And someone said, well, what about offboarding? And the whole table just went, here we go, right? But everybody immediately knew what we needed to talk about, and we just got it instantly. So I've been thinking more about, you've asked us to think about what is the difference between a conference and a retreat and all these different things. And the retreat aspect for me is that it you're not hiding in some anonymous fashion, just going to things and sitting and listening. Like that part of it where you're really participating, there's just so much more community. Even though we're all from different places all over the country, I don't feel alone here, and I love it.
Wonderful. Thank you, Holly. Josh, did you have a question you'd like to ask the panel? And
yeah,
I do.
I'm loving the conversation.
Yeah,
I'm loving hearing the stories and taking notes as you're going, just because there's so many wonderful comments here and thoughts. And Alex will obviously just completely edit yours down to your brain is very loud. That's all it'll say for your whole story. But you know, the power that you're talking about here, you know, the words that I heard each of you mention in common were things like space and time and breathing and collaboration, and really being able to find that ability to harness the power of each other. And obviously the title of this podcast and the title of the conference here is the power of the crowd. And this idea that in a retreat, you're all interacting, you're all a part of it. Whereas in a conference, you can sit back and just kind of disappear, as I think Holly said. And so I'm curious, as you talked about this power, and you know, Holly, you started mentioning some examples around being at tables and just having some of these conversations. I'm wondering if you guys could talk a little bit more about what are those conversations like? What has the energy been like of the collaborations that have gotten you really excited for this upcoming year based off of things that you hadn't even thought about necessarily coming into this experience here with this retreat?
When you're saying that, I was thinking we're so, in our positions, we're so typically reactive. And like Alex was saying, we love, and I love it too, like, oh, there's a problem. Let's figure out a solution to it. And my wife hates me when I do stuff like that, by the way.
Looking not always for problems.
A solution. Yes. So, but we are. We're like, and so it's fun to not have to, like, have something that we have to react to, and just trying to move into that more proactive mindset. This type of retreat gives you a little bit of space to do that. And, you know, some of the I was fortunate enough to have two folks from our school here with me to collaborate on some things. And so that's been great. And just having, almost using this retreat as a mini retreat for some of the staff in our school has been nice. And so that would be something maybe down the road to think about for Atlas, you know, to how can we kind of have an umbrella retreat that we can then help teach other departments, our departments, to come in and bring, you know, their staff to have their mini retreat with that. So it's been helpful. So we've had conversations surrounding just data flow and you know, exciting stuff. But yeah. it's great because we wouldn't have been able to find as much time to discuss that when there's problems hitting you daily, and you're reacting to them. So so that's been something. That's one of the conversations I guess we've been having too, is just surrounding data, but just in a bigger picture, it's been nice having other colleagues here to have those discussions with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that I'd say it's definitely one of the huge benefits of the Atlas Conference has always been, you know, the tribe, everybody getting together and being able to have those conversations. And there has always been some amount of space for it, but it really feels like there's an intentional space here to allow that to happen and to allow those conversations to play out. Whereas before, you'd be 20 minutes in between. Oh, I've got to grab a coffee and go to the bathroom, so we can only talk for 10 minutes. Sorry. But you know, instead we get a 45-minute conversation about cybersecurity at lunch. So it's fantastic. Yeah.
When one of the strategies I have always tried to implement is giving people in my department space to think and work and play and explore. After I learned, this is now probably 15 years ago, you know, Google had their 20% project. Are you familiar with that thing where you can spend 20% of your time on an area that's not your core area, right? So, is that one of us banging?
No.
Yeah. So I.
Nobody else is hearing that.
It's just
the noise in your head. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Alex, are you feeling okay?
No. So I asked my head of school if we could try something like that and do a 20% project with members of our staff. And his response to me was, well, you know, I'm not sure that that's really fair to all the other departments for you to do that if they're not. And I said, well, my hope is that we would be more productive. So kind of from the data side, what we did is we were, I said, well, I think that's a fair question. Let me try to prove this. And so we looked at the number of tickets that we had And so I am not the only one hearing that booming, right?
Okay. No, okay. We were just messing with you.
All right. Yeah. So the
what's booming?
Good job.
So we gather data on that, right? And I think there's value in this. I encourage you to do some version of this if you don't already. Is, you know, we looked at the number of tickets that came in on an average week so that we knew what our baseline was, and we looked at our average unanswered tickets, right? And I gave people their 20%, which is one day out of a week, right? So we had our project day. So we rotated, and everyone got their project day, and you didn't have to sit at help desk. You went into this project room, and you could work on something that it could be personal, but it had to be something that could contribute to your work at the school, right? So it could be working on websites. It could be working on databases. It could be working on any sort of thing. It could be a personal project, but the knowledge and skills could be transferred to school, right? That was the only sort of requirement. Go and do that. So without increasing our staff, we did that, and we found that within 1 week, our trailing number of unanswered tickets dropped by 20%.
Oh, wow.
Within a semester, it dropped by 50%. Mm-hmm. So our efficiency and productivity actually increased mm-hmm. while we were giving our staff more time off. And when I showed that to my boss, he brought it up to the other members of the administrative team, and they immediately began to become critical of how we were taking time off and not working hard enough. And I said, why don't you measure your own productivity? and it became, whoa. And but it's important because that whole process was fundamentally one of self-reflection
right.
and giving people time and space to ultimately become more productive, like we talked about this morning.
Yeah. There's something, too, I think, just about, and we've talked about the very psychological components of productivity and prioritization, and there's something that seems psychological about the container of space, perhaps the environment, perhaps the intention that allows for something to happen, you know, in our crazy brains, that kind of creates some space internally to be able to process at a higher level. And like you said, there's productivity increasing. Yeah, awesome. I was thinking, unless anyone wanted to add to that question.
I think that whole idea of self-reflection is so important mm-hmm. too, mm-hmm. and having the conversations around that I think are important. And then in asking people to help you with not just me self-reflecting on what I do, but maybe asking my colleague, what do you think about this? And being new to a position, I'm asking everybody questions. What do you think about this? How we should manage that? Like, I don't know all the answers. So, you know, helping them, they help me with my self-reflection because I'm trying to gather information from them and said I can take something and think back about what I do and how it might be a good way to approach it. And I think the other thing coming in new to a position or a new school is I've given myself the time and latitude to just go talk to people and, mm-hmm. and learn from them and open myself up and listen to what everybody has to say in the community. And I don't have any preconceived notions of what this person's history is or mm-hmm. what they think about technology or anything else. So I don't know if I'm talking to the biggest fan of the technology department or the biggest critic at the time, and that's fun because it allows me to kind of listen and have those good conversations. And you can do that in your current school, I think, as well. But Elman was coming in as like a consultant in a way because it's but I have to, you know, unlike Alex, I can't just leave after I mess everything up. I gotta go in. I gotta fix it too. So,
jeez, guys.
Sorry.
We'll have the hating on Alex outtake reel.
He's
sponsoring this event.
Yes, I know.
As I was listening to Stuart talk, I was kind of wishing that Gabe Lucas was here because I did a reference call for Stuart for MICDS, and I will never do one of those again. it's actually remarkable. I'm sitting here just smiling listening to Stuart talk because so much of what he's talking about in terms of his perspective of listening and creating a lot of space for people to share their reality about what we do, which for the record, if you don't listen to your community about what they think of you, it's not good.
Right.
No matter how good you are, it's hard because there's a lot of misperceptions out there. And Stuart naturally, he brings that, and that's precisely what I said in the reference. So I'm really enjoying listening to that. But you'll never get one again. But.
I'm thinking back too to what you were saying, Stuart.
Thank you,
and thank you guys. You guys are a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. We're laughing a lot. I also feel like this is some sort of game show, and I'm the game show host. And next up is Stuart.
You brought prizes, right?
Yeah, there's prizes. Okay. Yeah. You get a podcast episode that you can. What was coming to mind, though, for me, Stuart, as you were sharing there, is just what is the mindset of retreat and what is the mindset of reflection? It sounds like one of the things you're noticing being new at a school is that, you know, it's almost like you have that mindset of, I don't know. I don't know what to expect when I talk to someone. And I imagine that would be a mindset that would benefit anyone to kind of go into that state of, you know, maybe I think all these things about a person, but I don't know. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and just kind of asking those questions and the why behind things. Why do
right.
we do things this way?
Right.
Why do we do things right. that way? And yeah, you're right. It's just having that kind of mindset. So it is, but it's easier to do, I think, at a new place than, I mean, if you've been in some place for 20 years, you know, it's hard. But I think there are strategies that you can do to kind of refresh yourself at your where you currently are, and I think a lot of us, because of our leadership skills and capabilities, we're often pulled in directions that are maybe different than our core job description. So I was talking with, is it Russ from? We were talking. He does a lot of with the buildings and grounds things,
mm-hmm.
but you know you. Because of his organization skills and abilities, he's pulled in that direction, too. And so you are able to kind of open yourself up to those different opportunities. And then that way you can, within those spaces, ask questions because you don't know those things. You know, you have that capacity to possibly lead it, but you do have to. You have the opportunity then to open yourself up and ask other people, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me out here?
Yeah.
And that makes it kind of fun. And at the same time, you're learning something yourself and giving back to the school as well in a different capacity.
Holly, I remember yesterday or the day before. What day is it? I remember at some point, we were chatting and you were sharing with me some of the student experiences that your school puts on that are sort of retreat-like in nature.
Yeah, we have a really big outdoor education program. So oftentimes, the planned events are like big hikes for all the 10th graders or trips abroad for various groups of kids. But the funnest on-campus retreat that I have recently learned of, I've not participated myself, and I really would love to because I've worked with the student government for years. Our ASB officers all meet and plan a retreat at school at the beginning of the year where they really set their intention for the year. What's our theme going to be? What are all the projects we want to work on? And they do, it's quite cool. It's sort of like when we were planning this conference and we're trying to think of what's the right word to capture what we're trying to do. That's the process they go through with their advisors and then just as a team. What is it we want to do for the year? And they're on campus, but they're like spending the night in our lower school commons, which they haven't been in since they were tiny little kids. And they go out in the woods and go on hikes, and they go spend some quiet time in the chapel and think about what they want to do. And they just come up with this brilliant plan. They put it all on this big giant poster, and then they hang it up for the whole school to see, like, this is what we're doing this year. And the last, they've not done that forever at our school. That's been a development in the last probably 4 or 5 years. And every year it gets better. And they come back around to it for assemblies. Like, this is what we're taught. This is back to our theme again. This is what we're doing this year. And especially this year in the pandemic, I don't even remember what their theme was. It was something about building community, which was impossible. It felt impossible when we can't see each other or spend time together and everyone's in a mask and 6 feet apart. But man, did they really work hard to build community in those weird spaces where we had like online Zoom assemblies together. And they were so much more fun than they were in person. So I'm hoping that we will keep some of that stuff moving forward. But that all springs from that retreat time that they have together.
And I love that you mentioned students, because students are the biggest stakeholder in our schools, and sometimes they just get passed over for other things, and I think it's so important to bring them into everything, including retreats.
Yeah. Wonderful. I love the the sentiment, just in our little back channel, Pam was saying friendships, strong friendships, and that sentiment that you know, getting together maybe in an environment where there's this space to support each other builds rapport and relationships in a very strong way. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to, I know we have some audience participation mics. There's Susan going to grab one. So folks in the room, and of course the panel as well, I'm really curious to hear about your experience over the last day and a half. And specifically, you know, what have been some of the processes you've engaged in? How have you used this time? And how have you benefited from the time that we've had the last day and a half, or from the processes or activities we've done? Would anyone like to open up and share a little bit about that, what they've experienced the last couple of days? So you just raise your hand, and Susan's got the microphone. We got Larry. All right, Larry.
Well, just the experience of a retreat as opposed to a conference. Was talking about this with people at the lunch table today. You know, that you know, typically the conference is as devastating as it is for a kid at a typical day of school, because you're going to 45 minutes that deal with, and then another 45 minutes that has nothing to do with the previous 45 minutes that you just experienced, and you sit and get, and maybe at the end of what's described as an interactive session, there'll be 5 minutes for Q&A at the end if they don't run over with their slide deck. And that has not been the experience here. And also the pace is sane. This would have been great for kids too, but, you know, breakfast at 9, starting at 10. You know, some time to, you know, keep up with the day job. It is July and we're all getting ready for our schools to start. And then some time to really do some deep dives on what's important to us. But at the same time, meaningful sessions and that wonderful experience of both, doing a deep work that we don't have time to do at our day jobs, but also learning and connecting with others. And, of course, I think it's wonderful anyway, but just seeing everyone face to face after so much time. I'm glad to see you guys on screen too. Don't get me wrong, but that's kind of an echo of the past. But seeing people face to face is wonderful. So yeah, pace, experience, connecting, and walking back with some things I learned from colleagues as well. So I have some things to take back to my school that I learned that I wouldn't have learned had I not been here.
Thank you, Larry.
So, can I mention one? I'm sorry.
No, please.
Just wanted to get another reputation here, but the Atlas community is a community that I've often been on the kind of outside looking in over the years, being involved with educational technology 25 years ago. And then developing the Laptop Institute with lots of help, and hosting lots of schools coming in, and experiencing the conversations that were held during those period of time, and a lot of your schools participated, was so great. And then I moved into a different direction for a number of years through some needs that the school where I was at had for me, and which was great. So I never really pursued the Atlas kind of membership for the school, but when I did, was fortunate to be appointed at this new position at MICDS. That was pretty much the first thing I did. I talked to Elizabeth and some of the folks. I said, hey, I really want to join Atlas. Or I said, are y'all Atlas members? They're like, no, we've always wanted to do it. think we were at one time. I said, well, we just need to do it. And, you know, just like it was great. And so that, and the reason I wanted to do it was for that community and for that space and for the professionals to help build this wider support of what we're doing. So that's really, so when we all participated in the April Undaunted, and then a few of us followed up into the in-person retreat. But just the community that we have to be able to draw upon best practices is so important. And that was really kind of what this laptop conference we did years ago, that was what the whole process was. That was, it's just like, we don't have the answers, so let's all get together and figure out, you know, how we can figure out what the best practices are. So I'm excited to be a part of this as a new Atlas member, and I'm hope that we're able to continue this participation over the years. I'm thankful for Atlas for developing this. So
indeed,
it's a commercial, but it was, it's yeah, really true.
That's good.
I'll pay you
good.
Later.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So how have y'all in the audience, and even folks in the panel, how have you, during the last day and a half, taken advantage of sort of the power of the crowd? How have you collaborated during this time? I mean, I know we've done some activities together. Yeah, right over here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Raleigh. And
thanks, Sarah.
Yesterday, I had this wonderful opportunity during our work time to go into another room with five or six colleagues. And, you know, everybody had a different problem. But what we did was we just shared our experience, and as a result, everybody walked away both with some solutions for their own problem, but some new knowledge because of the greater conversation. And that really is the power here. You know, you have the opportunity to work on your own stuff and also learn other things that you might not have been looking for, but are useful.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering everyone's names up here, so thank you for introducing yourself.
I'm Lane Young, and for me, it's, I think, to the conversation that Jim referenced about cybersecurity, it started because I had a very specific question that I, something that I was considering doing, and I just wanted to know, had anyone else ever taken that step or thought about that step? And that was great, right, that I was in a place with peers who didn't think that was a crazy question to ask and kind of understood the background of why I was asking it. And then we diverged into all sorts of really interesting paths then that I couldn't have anticipated, but I gained a lot from and I hopefully contributed to. So I think that was really the power of the crowd for me was being able to get something, but then and also being able to give back in ways that are meaningful.
Thank you, Lane.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Please do.
So we have a number of people who are participating in this retreat who have been through the first Atlas Leadership Institute,
mm-hmm.
and we did not expect that to be fully online, and we weren't quite sure how it was going to end. They, throughout the year, we kept saying, well, we'll figure it out when we get there, and this is actually a kind of closing for that experience for them. So I'm wondering, how has it been for you to come together as members of a cohort who have never seen each other before, and to end your cohort year in this way?
Hi, my name is Eric Delgado. I'm from the Wesley School in North Hollywood. And I've been at the school for 17 years. And yes, I've been there in every IT position. Now, I have evolved to become the director of technology. But I had never had the proper training for it. And when I had the opportunity to be part of the Leadership Institute, I jumped on it. And yes, this year was very challenging because not only we had to do it online, but also we had to be dealing with everything that was going on at school. It was very difficult for me, but at the end, it has been a big change. it has helped me to become the leader, or it's helping me. I'm not there yet, but it's helping me to become the leader that I always wanted to be, and has given me the tools to be able to come to our principal and say, hey, you know, these are the things that we need to do. This is the role that I need to be at the school. And Atlas is the one that has given me that power.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, anyone else? Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jennifer Mara from the Blake School. When I signed up for ALI, I did not know that the pandemic was coming, like most of us here in the room. And it was a heavy lift. But to do it as a group and to stick together and to collaborate, walking through something that was unprecedented, was what really brought us together. So it became the most opportune time to be in ALI, because you had your cohort that met, you know, several times a month and worked together. And we spent a lot of time just discussing what's new in your school. And then we'd work on our projects. And the following week, we'd be using some of that data in our jobs. So it really was beneficial to walk through data flow analysis and be able to pull that most up-to-date document that I just made for ALI and use it in real time.
And just to follow up, how does ending that experience here feel?
Definitely great to be able to collaborate not just with our ALI groups and our teams, but also with the greater Atlas population. So seeing how people who have been through the system or have done previous cohorts with Atlas and see how they've grown in their positions. With our ALI group, we had some that were instructional coaches and some that were tech supports and some that are already directors or CIOs. So it was just a really great group, you know, that we brought together here in the retreat to get a lot of mind-bending and figuring out what comes next.
And it was a little interesting after having seen everybody on screen all year to see each other in person for the first time at this retreat. It's like, whoa, you're tall.
You're so three-dimensional.
Yeah, exactly. That was really part of the first day, was just sort of feeling the three-dimensionality of it all.
I love it. Pam, it looked, was anyone else? Yeah, Denise, yeah. Oh, thanks, Ashley.
So, as I reflect on the power of this retreat model, I think about how I used to feel when I went to a conference early in my career, this sense of invigoration because I had connected with new friends and colleagues, and I was going back to my school with new ideas. And that started to wane, you know, over the years, because the routine of the traditional conference felt exhausting, and what I wanted to do was really just connect with people so that we could have like a deeper conversation and talk about how we were feeling and how we might help each other so that we could go back feeling renewed. And this retreat for me has delivered. I feel ready to, in an undaunted manner, go back to really help provide space for my own team so that they can step away from the fire a little bit and find purpose again. This year has been incredibly challenging to help people overcome their own personal fears about their family, their friends, and a pandemic in general, and also stay focused on all this work we had to do. So I feel like this human connectedness in a small venue where we can retreat is everything that I needed to go back to dig into what looks like is going to be an equally challenging year with so many opportunities for us to help our own teams and colleagues to continue. So thank you to Atlas and to the panel for shedding light on some of those insights.
And thank you, too. You know, it sounds like what I'm hearing what you're saying is now is a great time to start having retreats. There's a lot to catch up on that a retreat could assist with. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you.
We had a conversation yesterday in our sticky note activity in the leadership group about the loss of unstructured spaces to spend time together. The pandemic took away our lunches together. It took away like our just hallway gatherings, and to try to bring those back in with some intention, because we get to spend so much time just getting to know one another and build community that way. And what I when you were speaking, Denise, what I just realized is that every time we've met for a meal or a walk or a let's just go out and explore, I don't feel the need to keep working during that time. I actually have finally gotten to just ask people, like, tell me more about your family and what else do you like to do? Like, we have the time during the retreat to have those, you know, casual conversations or unstructured time to talk about work, which means we have more time outside of that to just really have fun together and be friends outside of here and, like, get to know each other as people, not just technology people, which is lovely.
Thank you, Holly.
So I have a question, Michael.
Yes, Pam. And
so, you know, I'm thinking that time is this gift, and I think you all gave yourselves this gift of time together. But, you know, you're going to have to go back to the to-do list. You're going to have to go back to all the things that are waiting for you. And I'm just wondering in what ways specifically you might incorporate some reflection for yourself, your organization, and how that might unfold?
It's a great question, Pam.
I mean, that's a lot of what we've been doing here. So Pamela, you know, you're joining us remotely, so you don't have the advantage of having seen what we've been doing, but I'm really impressed with the structure of this retreat, in that there has been a lot of time for us to think about what are those tasks, what are those lists, how do we prioritize, organize, and structure those so that, you know, here in an environment where we have that gift of time, as you said, to sort of organize this. And I had to, you know, I've shared with others, we just went through an acquisition, so I've had to do a lot of what we're doing today over the last several months. And so it's been interesting to me to watch you guys and talk to you guys as you're going through that, having just kind of done this on my own and without the sort of benefit of the facilitation that Atlas is bringing us. But it's, I think, you know, being kind of 2 weeks past what you guys are doing now as part of this activity, I'm so grateful, you know, to have had that time. I feel like I am so much more, it's not just productive, it's comfortable in my productivity, right? Anxiety is just a natural part of my life and my personal being, and I know when I feel like I just don't have a handle on things, and it makes me unproductive at everything. But when I feel like I have a handle on things, I feel that comfort. It not only makes me more productive, it just makes me feel better in my being. And watching you guys do a lot of the same stuff that I was doing on my own a few weeks ago makes me very happy and excited for you, because I'm in this calmer spot as a result of doing a lot of those same sorts of things. And I know you've not had time to do this year, so I'm happy for you all.
Well, and so we're getting close to our time. I wanted to, can we take like 5 more minutes and I want to have you share. But just going back to Pam's question, I think too, what maybe Pam was asking, has anyone thought about how, you know, when they do get back to school, where you might time block, you know, an hour in your day, a couple times a month to engage in some of the reflective practices we've enjoyed together today. You know, it's easier when someone else creates the container of space for you and you pay and you go off. But just to take a minute, since I thought that was a really good sort of future-oriented question from Pam, has anyone thought about how they might incorporate some of these practices into your own personal schedule back at school? Or am I just giving you a suggestion? Mm. Yeah, Denise.
The morning walk.
Oh, let's get you on the microphone. Yeah.
The mindfulness hour, the hour in the morning that was on purpose, like I couldn't show up.
Yeah.
That space I'm taking back. Yeah. I'm going to give myself that space, and I'm going to encourage my team to take it.
Yeah. Walks are Yes, and from a neuroscience standpoint, walks literally synchronize the hemispheres of your brain. So they get your logical and your creative minds humming and talking together. Yeah.
Well, one thing that is probably, you guys have been doing this forever, but is relatively new for me, is scheduling time in my calendar for prep for tech meeting or prep for Atlas retreat or think about this article or that article.
And you're not up the night before so much. And
So just like I'll put that in my calendar the next day so that it's not automatically filled with meeting type thing. And so I've just been doing that for the last 3 or 4 weeks, and that's been helpful, just creating that space for myself to do those things that you wouldn't normally get to because you're running off to a meeting. So I think just this has reinforced the idea of the space and time needed, but also for us to be able to model that for our staff is important while still getting the work done.
Yeah.
I don't know what Jason
did. Yeah. Thanks, Stuart.
So Josh and Pam, this is Christina Llewellyn. Thank you guys so much for being here. It's so lovely to see you up on the big screen. And I think one thing I would just add, because I don't know that any of our attendees will add it, is that in creating the retreat and in having this event, we also wanted to celebrate how much they had accomplished, because they're not always getting those accolades from their school environment because everyone there is stressed out too. And so what I have loved about this bubble that we are in is that there's a lot of patting on the back and taking a deep breath and recognition of how far we've come. And so as I shared with attendees earlier in this event, you know, there was a day where, you know, we're on a virtual town hall just a few months into the pandemic and there's tears on the call. And that day, our team said, we have to do something for our members to help them understand how amazing they are. And so part of this space is also about celebration and how far we've all come. And I just wanted to kind of end on that note. You know, from my perspective, I don't know that you are all celebrating yourselves, but there are people celebrating you. And I would assume that your students are so much better because you walk those halls and you've done all those, you know, put in all that effort. Your teachers are better for it. They may not always take the time to say that and articulate that to you, but we feel that. And so I'm taking the liberty to say, you know, you are rock stars, and I hope that you feel celebrated here because that was part of the goal too.
Thank you, Christina. Clapping for everyone in the room. Thank you. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Amplifying Optimism in Education. To learn more about the podcast, you can visit amplifyingoptimism.com and search for Amplifying Optimism in Education on your favorite podcast streaming platform. And thank you for Atlas for partnering with us and also all of those who contributed to the episode. You can find out more about Atlas by clicking the link in the show notes.